For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's January the 31st. We're in Malachim Beis. We're in Perek Yudal, chapter 14, Pasuk Chafala, verse 21. Last week we spoke about the kingdom of Amatsyahu, and now we have his son. In Pasuk Chafal, verse 21, it says, "Vayikhu kol am Yehuda es Azarya." So the nation of Yehuda took Azarya, which is the son of Amatsyahu. V'hu ben shesh esrei shana, he was 16 years old. V'yamlichu oso tachasaviv Amatsyahu, and they made him king in place of his father Amatsyahu. Now, Amatsyahu, if you recall, had run away because there was a rebellion against him, and for 15 years, the last 15 years of his reign, he was in Lachish. Now, during that time, his son would have ruled, but his son was only a year old when he ran away, so his Amatsyahu's wife, Azariah's mother, was the acting queen along with her son, and they ran the show until Azariahu got old enough to act as king on his own. And that was Amatsyah died when Azariahu was 16, and then he took over as king. Hubana es Elas, he built Elas, Vayeshiveha li Yehuda, and he made it part of Yehuda, Achrei Shchav HaMelachim Avosav, after his father passed away. This indicates, since it says after his father passed away, it sounds like he, meaning Azariah, was already running the country prior to his father passing away, which he was. It was a process, because, as I said, he was a year old when his father ran away, and then over time, slowly but surely, he took over more and more responsibility of running the country. Chav Gimel 23, Bishnas Chamesha, Seishana L'Amatsyahu ben Yoash, Melech Yehuda. In the 15th year of Amatsyahu, the son of Yoash, the king of Yehuda, so we're going backwards now, back in this is the Malach Yoravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael, B'Shamron. Yoravam, the son of Yoash, became king over Yisrael, over the northern kingdom in Shamron. Arboim Achas, Shana, 41 years. So this was the same year that Amatsyahu ben Yoash ran away, and so in that year, Yeravam becomes king over Yisrael. Vayasara ben Hashem, so he was an evil king. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sar mikol chatos Yeravam ben Nevat, ashrechet yis Yisrael. He did not go away from all of the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat that he caused the Jews to sin. Who even so. Even though he was an evil king, nevertheless he had success. He returned the boundary of Yisrael from coming to Hamas until the western sea, Mediterranean. Like the word of Hashem that he spoke in the hands of his servant, Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi, Hashem migas hachefer, that was from Gas Hefer. Yonah was the one who crowned Yehu ben Nimshi as king. He's the one, at the word of Elisha, who went and anointed Yehu ben Nimshi as the one who was going to destroy the house of Ahav. Yonah said at the time, Hashem said at the time, that there would be a four generations of kings coming from Yehu. Yeravam is the third one after there was Yehu, and then his son, which now I forget his name. Yeah, and then came Yoash, and then comes now Yeravam.
Here's a chart that.
What does it say?
Lewis.
Does it say over here? I don't know if it says over here.
Does that help you?
No, let's see. Yeah, Yehoahaz. Yehoachaz.
If you want one of those, ask her.
No, I don't usually need it. I just happened to forget it this time. Now, So Yonah is credited with the Nevuah here that there would be success during the reign of Yeravam ben Yoash, as it says over here. However, Chazal tell us that this does not mean that Yonah had this Nevuah. That's not what it means. What it means is that just as when Yonah said a Nevuah about Nineveh, the Nineveh would be ne'epaches, Nineveh would be overturned, and then they did tshuva, and instead the Nineveh was not destroyed. Here as well, despite the fact that they were doing the wrong thing, and really things should have gone bad for them, but nevertheless, it turned around and things went well for the northern kingdom during this time. So it's only invoking Yonah to show that there was a turnaround from what you would have expected to happen. Why? Pasuk Chavah, verse 26, Ki ra'a Hashem es ani Yisrael more ma'od, because Hashem saw the affliction of the Jewish people was very bitter, it was very difficult. Ve'efes atzur, ve'efes azuv, there was nobody to help them. There was no way out. Ve'en ozel Yisrael, no one was helping the Jewish people. They were very, very destitute. They were very pressured and under a lot of suffering, and there was no way out. So Hashem therefore saved them. Hashem did not want to erase the name of Yisrael from under the heavens. And he saved them beyond Yoravam ben Yoash in the hands of Yoravam the son of Yoash. So even though Yoravam was an evil king and he ruled for 41 years, but the northern kingdom prospered under Yoravam ben Yoash. The rest of the words of Yoravam and all that he did, and the strengths that he fought, and that he returned Damasek and Hamas, which was of Yehuda, in Yisrael, which means that he got those places to become part of Yisrael. the way the Mitzvah explains it is that he conquered Damascus and Hamas for Yehuda using the army of Yisrael. So that's what he did. All this is written in the Chronicles of the Kings of Yisrael. Vayishkav Yoravam imam osav. Yoravam dies after 41 years. Im malchei Yisrael. So he's buried with the kings of Yisrael. Vayimloch Zechariah ben Otachtav. And Zechariah, his son, rules in his stead. Zechariah being the fourth generation after Yehu ben Nimshi. So that was a very quick description of what happened with Yoravam ben Yoash. And now we get back to the Malchei Yehuda. Bishnas Esrim Vasheva Shana LeYoravam Melech Yisrael, the 27th year of Yoravam, the king of Yisrael, Malach Azariah ben Amatzia Melech Yehuda. Then Azariah, the son of Amatzia, becomes the king over Yehuda. Now this is a cryptic pasuk. We know that Yoravam ben Yoash and Azariah became king at the same time. So it doesn't make sense that it says that in the 27th year of Yoravam, that's when Azariah became king. So we're going to see that a very significant thing happens during Azariah's reign, and his entire reign, kingdom, changes, and it happens in the 27th year of his reign. And that's what it means over here, that in the 27th year of the reign of Yoravam, Melech Yisrael, at that time, Azariah ben Amatzia, the king of Yehuda, his entire rulership, his reign, changes. That's what this means, which we're now going to see what happens. Then Sheshes Meishana Hayab Malchol, he was 16 years when he became king. V'chamishi Mushtaim Shana Malach B'Yerushalayim, and he ruled for 52 years. V'sheimimo Yichal Yahu M'Yerushalayim. His mother's name was Yichal Yahu from Yerushalayim. Now, again, Yechaliyahu ruled when he was a year old. When it says that he ruled for 52 years, that includes let me just think for a second. Yeah, that includes the 15 years that his father had run away to Lachish, and so he was really a year old when he started, but he wasn't actually king. His mother, Yechaliyahu, was really the one running the country, and then slowly but surely he grew into the position. So he really was officially the king, or unofficially the king, 15 years before his father's death. We will learn later on that similarly, Yeravam ben Yoash, he was actually acting king 3 years before his father's death, because Yoash was unable to run the country, so Yeravam took over. Now, this king of Israel, of Yehuda, Azariyahu ben Amatzia, was a righteous king, as were most of the Yehuda kings. Just like his father, Amatzia was a righteous king, although we learned last time that he wasn't perfect, but he was generally a righteous king. So too, his son Azariah is a righteous king. Vayas HaYashar b'nei Hashem, he did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. Kechol asher asa Amatziahu Aviv, everything that his father Amatziahu did. Chazal say he did all the good things his father did, he didn't do any of the wrong things his father did. Raka Bamos lo Saru, only the Bamos, the personal altars were not removed. Od Ha'am Mizabchim Umekatrim Bamamos, the nation was still worshipping, they were still offering sacrifices and burning incense, etc. on the Bamos. Vayinaga Hashem es HaMelech, Hashem caused the king to have Tzaras. He gave Azariah Tzaras. Vayhi mitzora ad yom moso, and he had saras until the day he died. Vayeshev beveis hachofshis, and he dwelled in the house of the chofshis. We'll explain that in a minute. Vayosam ben amelech ala bayis, and Yosam, the son of the king, took over. Shofet es amharetz, he ruled the people of the land. So Yosam, Azariah's son, who was also righteous, took over the country when his father, Azariah, got Tzaras. And that happened in the 27th year of the reign of Azariah. So Azariah, who ruled for 52 years, but the last 25 years of that 52 years, he had Tzaras. And he died with Tzaras. The Yeser Divrei Azariyahu v'chol asher asa, all the rest of what the words of Azariyahu and all that he did, Aloim Ksuvim Alsev Divrei Yom Malchi Yehuda, they are written in the chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. Vayishkav Azariah im Avosav, Azariah died. Vayikbru Oso im Avosav b'ir David, they buried him with his fathers near David. Vayimloch Yosam b'no Tachtav, Yosam his son ruled in his stead.
Do we know why he got?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So Azariah got Tzaras and Yosam took over. Now the Navi now is going to switch back to Malchei Yisrael and discuss what happens after the death of Yeravam ben Yoash. But we're going to pause here. We're going to pause here in Pasuk Ches, verse 8. In Perek Tesvav, chapter 15, we're going to pause here, and we're going to fill in the story from Divrei Hayamim, the story of Azariyahu. Now, Azariyahu has three names. One of them is Azariyahu. Another name for him is Zichariyahu, and that which is not to be confused with Zichariyahu, the son of Yeravam, the king of Israel. As we often see now, we see many overlap in the names. So Azariyahu's name is also Zechariyahu, and his third name is Uziyahu. And I think that's the more famous of his names, is Uziyahu. We'll talk about that right now. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra. Now, Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Chavav, chapter 26. I'm going to read to you from Divrei Hayamim. Part of it is going to be a repeat of what we read in Malachim, but part of it much of it is going to be filling in the gaps. So first it says, Vayikhu Kolam Yehuda es Uziyahu. They took Uziyahu, Vu ben Shesha Seishani, who was 16 years old. Vayamlichu Sotach HaSafiv HaMatziyahu. They made him king in place of his father HaMatziyahu. Hu Bana es Elos. He built up Elos. Vayeshiveha LiYehuda. And he brought it back to Yehuda. Achrei Shechav HaMelechim Avosav. After his father passed away. Ben Sheshes Reishana Uziyahu v'malcho, he was 16 years old when he became king. V'achamishim u'shtayim shana malach b'Yerushalayim, he ruled for 52 years. V'sheimimo Yecholya min Yerushalayim, his mother's name was Yecholya from Yerushalayim. V'yasa Yashar b'nei Hashem, he did what was good in the eyes of Hashem. K'chol asher asa Amatziyahu aviv, everything his father Amatziyahu did. V'yihi lidrosh Elokim b'mei Zechariyahu. And it was to seek out Hashem in the days of Zechariyahu. He sought out Hashem. Hamevin biros ha'elokim. He understood in fearing Hashem that it was good to fear Hashem. Uvimei darsho es Hashem. And in the days that he sought out Hashem, he tzlicho ha'elokim. Hashem made him successful. That Uziyahu was a successful king because he sought out Hashem. And what happened? Vayetse, he went out, vayilochem ba'plishtim, he fought against the plishtim. Vayifrotzes chomas gas, he broke down the wall of gas, which was the plishti city. Veis chomas yavne, and the wall of yavne, also plishti city. Veis chomas ashdod, and the wall of ashdod. Vayivne arim be'ashdod uva plishtim, and he built cities in ashdod and in the plishtim. He noticed he built cities, like army cities that would control the plishtim. So he took control of the plishtim. Vayaz reyo Elokim Hashem helped him al plishtim v'al arvim, against the plishtim and against the arvim. Hayoshvim begur baal, that were dwelling in gur baal v'hamaunim. Vayitnu ha'amonim mincha luziyahu. And the amonim paid tribute to Uziyahu. Vayelch shmo alav Mitzrayim, and his name went until Mitzrayim. He became famous. Ki hechazikad lamala, because he became very strong. Uziyahu, the king of Yehuda, now becomes a very strong, powerful king and well-known king. Vayiven Uziyahu migdolim b'Yerushalayim, he built towers in Yerushalayim. Al shara pina, on the gate of pina. Val shar hagai, on the gate of gai. Val hamaktsoa, and on the miktsoa. Vayechaz came and he strengthened them. Remember that in his father's day, Amatziyahu had started a war with Yoash, the king of Yisrael, and he lost the war, and Yoash came and made many breaches in the wall of Yerushalayim. So now, his son Uziyahu fixes those breaches. Vayiven migdalim b'midbar, he built towers in the midbar. Vayachzov boros rabim, he dug many pits, meaning many, many water holes. Ki mikne rav hayalo, because he had a lot of cattle. Uva shefelo v'amishar, and in the lower areas and in the plains. Ikarim v'chormim, he had farmers and he had people who grew grapes, vines, vineyards. Beharim uva karmel, in the mountains and in the Carmel. Ki ohev adam ahaya, because he loved the land. He loved the land. Vayihilu ziyahu chayol osei milchama. And Uziyahu had an army that did war. Yodzei tzava ligdud, they went out in battle. B'mispar pekudasam, they were counted, and they were biyad Ye'iel hasofer, they were counted in the hands of Ye'iel the scribe. U'maaseyahu hashoter, and Maaseyahu, he was the shoter, the officer. Al yad Chananyahu misari amelech, in the hands of Chananyahu was of the officers of the king. Kol mispar rashi ha'avos ligibarei chayol, the heads of the avos, of the families of the army. Alpayim v'sheish meos, 2600. That's top officers, 2600. Val yadam chel tzava shlosh meos elef, and they had an army of 300,000. V'shivas alaf and v'chamesh meos osil melchama b'chol chayol, plus another 7,500 who did war with great strength. Lazar lamelech al ha'oyev, to help the king against the enemy. So apparently there was an elite force of 7,500. Vayachem lahem Uziyahu l'chol tzava, and Uziyahu prepared for all of the army maginim, that's shields, uremachim, and swords, vechovaim, and helmets, vishiryonim, and armor, ukishasos, and bows, as in bow and arrows, ulavne kloim, and catapults, right. Vayas b'Yerushalayim chishvonos machasheves choshev, and he made in Yerushalayim all types of carpentry, all types of woodwork. Lios ala migdolim valapinos, on these towers. Liro vachitzim, to shoot with arrows. In other words, there were fortified areas for snipers to stand and guard the city. Uvavanim gedolos, with large stones to shoot at enemies. Vayetze shmo ad limerachok, his name went out very far. Ki hifli leheazer ad ki chazak, because he did unbelievable things to become very, very strong. It was not natural how strong Uzziyahu was becoming. So why did all this happen? Because he feared Hashem. Because Uzziyahu feared Hashem, Hashem gave him help, unnatural help, and he became very, very powerful. He was able to defeat all the enemies around them. He was able to fortify Eretz Yehuda. It was very prosperous. Lots of wells, lots of cattle, farms, vineyards, armies. They were in very, very good shape. Uchechezkaso, and as he became strong, gavali bo, his heart became haughty, ad lahashchis, until destruction. Vayima ba'Hashem elokav, and he went against Hashem as God. Vayavo el heichal Hashem, he came to the Beis HaMikdash, lahaktir amizbach haketores, to offer incense on the golden mizbeach. He went into the Beis HaMikdash to offer incense on the mizbeach. Now here he crossed a line. And the reason the line that he crossed is that only a Kohen is allowed to do avoda, is allowed to do service in the Beis HaMikdash. This was something only a Kohen was allowed to do. And of course, Uzziyahu was not a Kohen. He was from Yehuda, as he was a king. So he crossed that line. Now, he did not do it b'mezid. He did not do this as a premeditated sin. Because it says the word ma'al. Ma'al implies a shogig. A shogig means a negligence. He was negligent. Why did he do it? He did it, as Chazal tell us, because he said, Noe lemelech l'shores lemelech hakavod. It's appropriate for the king to serve the real king. And it's, I who am the king, it makes sense. It's appropriate for me to give service, to do service for the Melech HaKavod, that's Hashem. Now that was wrong, but it was not a premeditated sin. It was a mistake that he made. He shouldn't have done it. He's held accountable for it. Vayavo acharav Azaryahu HaKohen. So Azaryahu the Kohen came after him. V'imo kohanim la'Hashem, and with him were kohanim to Hashem, shmonim b'nei choyel, 80 strong kohanim to Hashem. Vayamdu al Uzziyahu ha-melech, they stood on Uzziyahu the king, and others in front of him. Vayomer, they said to him, lo lecha Uzziyahu lahakdir la'Hashem. It is not for you, Uzziyahu, to burn incense to Hashem. Ki la'kohanim b'nei Aaron ha-mekudashim lahakdir, because it is for the kohanim, the son of Aaron, who are sanctified to burn incense. Say mina mikdash, go out of the mikdash. Kimo alta, for you have done something wrong. V'lo lecha l'chavod me Hashem Elokim. It is not for you this covered from Hashem Elokim. You should not be doing this. Vayizaf Uzziyahu, and Uzziyahu became upset. Uviyado mikteres lahaktir, and in his hand was the pan to offer incense to Hashem. Uvizapoim haKohanim, when he got upset at the Kohanim, Vatsaras zorcho b'mitzcho, and Saras blossomed on his forehead, lifnei ha-kohanim, in front of the kohanim, beveis Hashem, in the house of Hashem, me'al l'mizbeach ha-ketores, on top of, or in front of, the golden mizbeach. Vayifan Elav Azaryo Kohen Arosh, and the top Kohen Azaryo turned to him, V'chol HaKohenim, and all the Kohenim, V'inehu Mitzora B'mitzcho, and he had Tzaras on his forehead, V'yav Hiluhu Misham, and they quickly got him out of there, V'gamhu Nidchav Lotzeis, he was also quick to get out, Ki Nigo Hashem, because Hashem afflicted him. He understood he had done something wrong. He realized he had Tzaras. V'yihu Ziyo HaMelech Mitzora Ad Yom Moso, he had Tzaras till the day he died, 25 years, Vayeshev Beis HaChavshios Mitzora, and he dwelled in the house of Chavshis as a Mitzora. Ki Nigzar mi Beis Hashem, because he was cut off from the house of Hashem. Vayosam Bino al Beis HaMelech, and Yosam, his son, in charge of the house of the king, Shofet es Hamaretz, judged the people of the land. V'yesod divrei Uziyahu, harishonim v'achronim, and the rest of what happened to Uziyahu, the first ones and the last ones, kasav Yeshayahu ben Amoz ha-Navi, was written down by Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the Navi. The Navi, Yeshaya, writes about the king Uziyahu. Because Yeshaya, he starts his nevuah in the days of Uziyahu, the king. V'yishkav Uziyahu im avosav, Uziyahu died, but they buried him with his ancestors, Bistei Akvura Asher Malachim, in the field of burial that was to the kings. Not in the cave of burial, but in the field of burial. Normally they're buried in caves. They didn't want to bring him into the cave because he had Tzaras when he died. So they buried him on the field, meaning just a grave in the field. Kiyamru Mitzorahu, for they said he had Tzaras. Vayimloch Yosam ben Otachtav, and Yosam, his son, ruled in his stead. What is the Beis HaChavshis? What is this place that he lived in for the 25 years he had Tzaras? They built him a place to live in the graveyard, in the Beis HaKvaros. He couldn't be in the camp. So they built him a place in the graveyard. That's why it's called the Beis HaChavshis, because the Pasuk says, La Mesim Chavshi. The Mesim, those who pass away, are Chavshi. Chavshi means free, but not free in a positive sense. Free as in they're no longer able to do mitzvahs. Once someone passes away, they can no longer do mitzvahs anymore. So they built him a house there, and that's where he lived until he died. Now Uziyahu, as we said before, did not do this maliciously, but he was nevertheless negligent. And as a result, he gets Tzaras, and the Tzaras never leaves him till the day he dies. He does tshuva, but it doesn't go away. The Tzaras remains with him till the day he dies. So he crossed this line. Now, what's the broader picture of what's happening over here? Now, remember, first of all, Yeshayahu, we said last week, Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Yeshayahu's father's name is Amoz. We said that Amoz and Amatziah, or Amatziahu, were brothers. So Yeshayahu and Uziyahu are first cousins. The Navi tells us, the Chumash says, who was the person in the Chumash who tried to take the kahuna for himself, and he was punished severely for it?
Korach.
So what happened to Korach? He got swallowed up by the ground. Now with Korach were Dasan and Aviram. They also got swallowed up. But with Korach and Dasan and Aviram were 250 men, primarily from the Shevet Reuven, who also wanted to do the mitzvah of the kahuna. What mitzvah did they do? The ketores, the incense. Exactly what Uziyahu does over here. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Korach tells Korach and his 250 men, tomorrow all of you should take incense along with Aaron, and whoever Hashem listens to, that's the one that's the real Kohen Gadol. That was going to be the proof of who the true Kohen Gadol was. So Korach and his family and Dathan and Aviram and their families all get swallowed up. What happens to the 250 men?
Korach's sons.
They survive. But what happens to the 250 men? And then we're not swallowed up. No. The 250 men... What's that? No, they were killed. They were killed. What's that? They were burned up. That's correct. Fire came down from heaven. Ve'ish yotza me'is Hashem. Fire came out from Hashem, it says in Parashas Korach. Vatochal esa chamishim asaimish, and it consumed 250 men. Makrivei ha-ketores, those who were bringing the ketores. So, in the day of Korach, when the first time someone tried to usurp Aaron's role, the people who tried were punished in two different ways. Some were swallowed up by the ground, and others were burned up by fire. At the end of the episode, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Korach, it's Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. So the Pasuk tells us that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should tell Elazar, the son of Aaron, to take the fire pans and use them as a, make them into a, they were made of copper. So make them into a tzipui lamizbeach. Make them into a plating for the altar. Put them around the altar as a plating. So when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you can see the altar. And around the altar, you have a copper plating around the altar made from these fire pans. V'yulaos livnei Yisrael, they should be a sign for the Jewish people. So that's what he did. And the Pasuk tells us, Perek Yizayin, chapter 17, Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Zikaron livnei Yisrael. This would be a remembrance for the Jewish people. Lemana shali krav ish zar. That no foreign man shall get close, meaning someone who is not a Kohen. Ashalomi zera Aaron hu, that is not from the seed of Aaron. Leaktir ketores livnei Hashem, to offer incense in front of Hashem. So there should no longer be like Korach, nor like his group. Kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe lo, as Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe to him, that there would no longer be anybody like Korach or like his cohorts. Now, Chazal tell us like this: what was it saying over here? Does this mean no one would ever try to usurp Aaron? It's not true. But what it means is the following. Rashi says, the Medrash is as follows. There would no longer be like Korach, meaning if someone tries to usurp the kahuna, the punishment will not be what happened to Korach, which is being swallowed up by the ground. That's not what's going to happen. V'chadaso. And the punishment will not be what happened to those who were with Korach, the 250 men who were with Korach, who were burned. That will not happen either. The punishment will not be repeat itself, neither the swallowing of the ground nor the burning of the fire. Rather, kasher diber Hashem biyad Moshe lo. Like Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe to him. What happened to the hand of Moshe? He got saras. When he spoke Lashon about the Jewish people, got saras. And therefore, if someone tries to usurp the kahuna, they get what happened to Moshe's hand. And Moshe's hand got saras. That's what happens to those who try to usurp the kahuna. And that's what happens to Uzziah over here. Rashi in Parshas Korach says, what does it mean, biyad Moshe? Remez lecholkem ala kahuna. It's hinting to those who try to usurp the kahuna. Shalokin b'tzaras, they get afflicted with tzaras. Kemo shaloka Moshe biyado, like Moshe got afflicted with his hand. Ve'alkein laka Uziyah b'tzaras. That's why Uziyah got tzaras. That's what Rashi brings in Chumash. In the book of Yeshayahu, I mentioned to you last week that Yeshayahu is now going to be on the scene. We're not learning about Yeshayahu, but he's now on the scene. He enters the scene in the days of Uziyahu, his cousin being king. Now, Yeshayahu, the book of Yeshayahu, like most of Tanakh, is not written in chronological order. In Muktam u'Me'uchar b'Torah, we know that things are not necessarily written in chronological order. The fifth perek of Yeshayahu begins Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of the king Uziyahu. It's the fifth perek of Yeshayahu. Rashi tells us that's the first nevuah that Yeshayahu gets. It's in the fifth perek, meaning even though there are four perekim before that, the fifth one is when he has his first nevuah, and it starts Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of the king Uziyahu. But he didn't die. We know that there are certain people who are considered like they're dead. And one of them is the Mitzora, which is why they built him a house in the graveyard. Because the Mitzora is Chashuv Kemes. It's like he's dead. Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uziyahu, in the year that Uziyahu got Tzaras, that's when Yeshayahu begins his Nevuah. Just so you know, sixth chapter. Thank you very much. Sixth chapter. It's after five chapters. Thank you. Just so you know that Hashem runs the world, in case you were wondering, it happens to be that the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu is the Haftorah for this week's Parsha, Parshas Yisro. We're going to read it this week. And you can look either in the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu, or you can look in the Chumash. You can look in the Haftorah of Parshas Yisro, which begins Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of the king Uziyahu, which means when he got Tzaras. Now, if you're able to have it in front of you, I want to read something to you over here, which is very, very significant. Or you can look in, if you have Yeshayahu, you can look in the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu. Oh, so look, it's after Kings.
Right.
If you can't find any Kings, one of these.
Here.
It's on 962
in this fat one.
Here, I'm going to use this. 1154.
1154.
1154,
962.
Thank you.
No,
I have here.
Okay, so the Pasuk reads, Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu.
1154.
In the year of the death of the king Uziyahu, this is Yeshayahu talking. Vayere es Hashem, I saw Hashem, Yoshev al Kisei, sitting on a throne, Ram v'nisa, exalted and mighty, v'shulav meleim es ha'echol, and its feet, the feet of the throne, were filling up the heichol, filling up the Beis Hamikdash. Serafim omdim mima'al lo, there were fiery angels standing above, attending to him, not above Hashem Chas V'Shalom, means attending to him. Shesh Knafayim le'achad, they each had six wings. Bishtayim echasefanav, with two they would cover their face. Uvishtayim echaser raglav, and two they would cover their feet. Uvishtayim yofef, and two they would fly. V'kara ze'el ze'v yamar, and they called out to each other and said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melo Chol Haaretz, Kivodo. That's where we get that from. This is the first nevuah of Yeshayahu. Vayanu'u amos hasipim, and the amos, which is the doorposts, moved. the doorposts of the Beis HaMikdash moved mikol ha-korei, from the sound of the calling out, v'abayis yimalei ashan, and the house became full of smoke. Now, the rest we're going to not talk about right now, but what he is seeing in his nevuah is what happened when Uzziyahu tried to bring the Ketores. What happened is there were fiery angels that wanted to burn him up, because that's what happened to the 250 men who were with Korach. There was an earthquake, and the doorposts shook. The Beis HaMikdash shook. There was an earthquake because the ground wanted to swallow him up, which is what happened to Korach. But neither thing happened. Instead, he got saras, because Hashem said, no longer will the punishment be being swallowed up, nor will it be being burned up, but the punishment will be saras. And that's what happened. This is a seminal event in the history of the first Beis HaMikdash. There actually was an earthquake, and it is called the Yom HaRa'ash, the day of the Ra'ash. Ra'ash means the noise, the cacophony. And it is referenced in several places in Tanakh, in Scripture. And it is referring to this day that Uzziyahu tried to bring Ketores and he got Saras, and Yeshayahu had his first Nevuah, and other things as well. And as we go through Navi, this is a time, this is something to focus on. It's a watershed event. So when you see the Haftorah, it's fascinating to note, every day when you say the words Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, this is where it's from. It happened on the day that Uzziyahu got Saras. And it's the Srafim, when you say in the morning, you say that in the Chumash, so you say now what does it say over there? I'm getting all mixed up now. There's a reference there to the Srafim, right?
All I have is Mincha, but that's
in Mincha. No. So let's get it right. It says over there, one second. It says, let's see. No, because I guess you'll see it. But the Srafim, that are mentioned, the ones here mentioned in Yeshayahu.
Right.
Now, So that's what happens, and that's Uzziyahu getting Saras, and his son takes over because of it. Yosam takes over because Uzziyahu gets Saras. Uzziyahu is not a Rasha. He did something wrong. But the Saras remains with him until the day he dies, because usurping the kahuna cannot be pardoned. He gets Saras, it remains with him until the day he dies. The way that Hashem references the Saras is that he draws a parallel between Moshe's hand and the Saras that the hand of Moshe got. Now, Moshe's hand getting Saras was miraculous, that it got Saras. He put his hand in his shirt, pulled it out, and it had Saras. But then he put his hand back in his shirt and it went away, which shouldn't happen. A sudden cure like that never happens. Here, the Saras remains with Uzziyahu till the day he dies. So, what is the parallel between this Saras and the Saras of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get Saras?
Because he said the Jewish people wouldn't.
Okay, so Chazal say because he spoke Lashon Hara. Because he said, Veheim lo yaminu li, they won't believe me. So Hashem said that you're speaking Lashon Hara. That's why he threw down his staff, turned into a snake. because the Nachash is the punishment for Lashon Hara, because the Nachash was a Baal Lashon Hara, and also Tzaraas comes because of Lashon Hara. But Uzziah didn't speak Lashon Hara. He tried to usurp the kahuna. So what's the parallel between what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu and what happened to Uzziahu? Why would they be connected? It's true, they both get tzaraas, but it seems almost coincidental. So let us, for a moment, examine what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was at the burning bush, and Hashem told him to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do it. And Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, they discussed it for 7 days. Until finally Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem just said, you're going to do it. During this time, one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu says is, V'heim lo yaminu li, they won't believe me. And he gets tzaraas. But Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu really had one main reason for wanting to refuse this job. At the end of the day, after all is said and done, he really was refusing for one main reason.
His brother.
Which brother? Aaron. Why did he want to, what was he worried about?
His honor.
He was worried about Aaron's honor, because Aaron was already a Navi before Moshe was a Navi, and Aaron was well respected. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of stepping on Aaron's toes. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlach Naviyat Tishlach. Send it with whoever you're going to send it with. Send it with the one you've already sent with, which is Aaron. So the Pasuk tells us in Shmos, in Perek Dal, chapter 4, Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe, Hashem got angry with Moshe. Vayomer, he said, Halo Aaron Achicha HaLevi. Aaron, your brother, the Levi. Yadati ki daber yidaber hu. I know he'll speak. V'gami nehu yotzei likrasecha. He's coming out to greet you. V'ra'acha, he will see you. V'samach b'libo. He'll be happy in his heart. Even internally. It's not going to put on a show. He's going to be genuinely happy for your success. He will not feel that you usurped him, that you stepped on his toes. Aaron is not going to be upset in any way whatsoever. Aaron will be happy for your success. Rashi says, Lo kishata savor shu makbid alecha. Not like you think that he's going to be makbid, he's going to be upset. Shata l'gdula, that you're going to go up, you're getting greatness. It's not going to bother Aaron. U'misham zach Aaron le'edei hachoshen anasun alev. And from this, Aaron merited to wear the choshen, the breastplate, which goes on the heart, because he had a good heart. He was genuinely happy for his younger brother becoming greater than he was. The pasuk says, Aaron achicha halevi. Aaron, your brother, the Levi. Well, Moshe was also a Levi. What does that mean? So Chazal tell us, Shaya asid lios Levi v'lo Kohen. Aaron was supposed to be the Levi, not the Kohen. And the kahuna, Hashem says, I had said was going to come from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You were going to be the Kohen. Me'ata, but now, lo yakin, that's not going to be the case. Elohu yakohen, he'll be the Kohen. Ve'ata Levi, you'll be the Levi. Right now, he's the Levi. Aron achicha ha-Levi. He was supposed to be only a Levi. Not anymore. Now he's going to be the Kohen. Because you are refusing, he's going to be the Kohen. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, all this time, is coming up with excuses because he doesn't want to usurp Aaron. Because he's afraid that Aaron will be jealous, will not be genuinely happy. Isn't that a valid concern? Doesn't that resonate with you that you wouldn't want to usurp somebody either? But Hashem held it against Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he got angry at him. Because Moshe Rabbeinu should have known that Aaron would be genuinely happy. That Aaron doesn't harbor these sorts of thoughts. This is, Aaron is above all of this. He doesn't get jealous. He doesn't feel like his toes are being stepped on or his feathers are ruffled. That's not Aaron. And that's why Aaron is the Kohen. Because Aaron doesn't look at it as an entitlement. Aaron doesn't look at it as, well, it's got to be me and nobody else. Aaron is happy to do it if he's called upon, and if he's not called upon, he's equally happy someone else will do it. Genuinely. Someone who tries to usurp the kahuna, what are they doing? When someone comes and says, I want to be the Kohen, there already is a Kohen. Why do you have to be the Kohen? Isn't there already a Kohen? So is that a genuine expression? That's saying, it's got to be me. I'm the important one over here. It says that Uziel did it ki gava libo, and his heart became haughty. Again, he didn't do it maliciously, but it was because of his success, he felt, it should be me. I should be the one offering ketores. Aaron never said, I should be the one. That's not Aaron. So the person who tries to usurp the kahuna is the person who is the antithesis of Aaron. Aaron does it because he's called upon. Anybody else does it because they're saying, it should be me. I deserve. I'm the one who should be doing it. Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately punished because he didn't fully believe that Aaron was genuinely like this. And the tzaras that he got, even though the direct reason for the tzaras was because he spoke Lashon Hara about the Jewish people, remember, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're talking about a very subtle sin over here, but it still, on his level, was a sin. So because that's the direct reason why he got it, but the reason why he said that the Jews won't believe me, is because he didn't want to step on Aaron's toes. Because he was afraid that Aaron would be jealous. The tzaras comes for believing that the Kohanim are in it for themselves. Why should it be them? Why can't it be me? Why Aaron? Korach says, why Aaron? Why not me? That's because Korach thinks that he and Aaron are in the same boat. Aaron wants it, and I want it. Why him and not me? But Korach, you're missing the boat. Aaron doesn't want it. Aaron does it because he was told to do it. He's not doing it because he wants it. You're totally missing the boat. When a person believes that the Kohanim or the Kahuna, Aaron, is in it for himself, that's what causes them to rebel against the Kahuna and try to usurp Aaron. It's when they can't understand that Aaron is completely happy with anybody else doing it. But Hashem gave it to Aaron. And that's why they get tzaras. And that's the parallel between the tzaras of Uziyahu and the tzaras of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it's for the same reason of a misunderstanding of the role of Aaron HaKohen. And that results in tzaras. So in the Haftarah this week, when we read it, Bishtan Shmos HaMelech Uziyahu, you'll have an understanding, because it's really what's going on over here in Malachim and Divrei Hayamim.
Wow.
Yeah.
As you were talking, a question came in my mind that I'd never thought about before. Would one be considered guilty of Lashon Hara if they are thinking those thoughts, but not saying them to somebody else?
No, if a person doesn't say it, then there's no Lashon Hara.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only if one says it. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.